الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. There are many efforts in deen, and each effort should be given its due diligence, and each effort should be shown consideration. And one should not focus on one effort and leave the rest. All of the efforts are taken from the Sunnah, are taken from the Quran, are taken from the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. We look at the efforts of ilm, we look at the efforts of tabligh, we look at the efforts of reformation, tazkiyah. Each one of these efforts are haqq, and they all have a role in our development as a human being. Now at times, these efforts, if we solely focus on one of them and disregard the other efforts, then this could be problematic. Because if we disregard the other efforts, we are in reality disregarding one of the efforts of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is not permissible. Each effort is taken from the Prophet of Allah. I wanted to narrate an incident which is mentioned in one of the works of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. He mentions that one of his murids, his khalifas, Khalifa Mujaz, they were making effort of tabligh in a isolated city in India. And these people, they absolutely were completely disconnected from Islam. They were Muslim just by name. When we say disconnected, we mean exactly that, disconnected. Meaning no namaz, no salam, they didn't know the shahadat, they didn't do Eid, you know, the ritual things that we normally do. They didn't even do that. Nothing. They were Muslim by name. Yes, they did do one thing, and that was celebrating the matam of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, celebrating the 10th Muharram. Now that doesn't even make sense, because when someone is shaheed, when someone is martyred, that's a point of pride and honor. That's no reason to express sorrow and melancholy. So they were basically doing something bid'at. Now this murid, he contacts Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, and he said that I'm in the city and I'm calling people towards Islam. They have absolutely no idea what Islam is. They are completely disconnected. However, this is what they are doing. This is the only thing that they are doing. And he even asked them, that then why do you call yourself Muslim? Right? So they said, you know, the people said that we call ourselves Muslim and we are different from the Hindus because we celebrate the matam. We celebrate the Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom, his shahadat. That's the only reason why we are Muslim, and that's the only reason why we are distinguished from these Hindus. And this is something which is an innovation. It's haram. It's not permissible. It's ritual. And it is not permissible. No one recognizes that this is part of deen, that this is part of shariat. And even from a logical standpoint, it's not something to be sad over. One should not express sorrow over this. One should be glad that this was how Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu anhu, this was how he left this world. He died a martyr. He died with honor and dignity. So he wrote a letter. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, great scholar, the student of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi taught him the usul of ifta, how to issue religious edicts. So he said that no, whatever they're doing, let them be. Don't stop them. Don't stop whatever they're doing. Let them continue what they're doing. And you continue to live with them and go about your daily ma'mulat. Whatever you're doing, namaz, azan, whatever your daily ma'mulat are, you continue to do that. Eventually, a time will come and they will start to question your actions. And inshallah, by your actions, barakat, they will enter into the fold of Islam completely. Completely. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit. I remember Mufti Taqi Sahib one time in class, he mentioned that he was imam for a brief period after he graduated. So he was imam in a masjid for 10 years. And in this masjid, there were many bid'at, many innovations, he said. Many innovations. So he asked his father, that Mufti Shafi Sahib, what should I do? Rahmatullah alayh. What should I do? Should I start telling them that what you are doing is wrong, it's haram, it's an innovation, it's not part of deen, it's not part of religion? Mufti Shafi Sahib said, absolutely not. No, don't do that. Go, do your imamat, and just go about your way. Do your daily ma'mulat, whatever you're doing. And inshallah, once they become acclimated towards your attitude and towards who you are, your personality, your disposition, then you can speak. So Mufti Taqi Sahib, he said, for 10 years I did not say anything. And once they became accustomed to my personality, my character, my disposition, I started to speak about the bid'at. And never directly, indirectly. And gradually, all the bid'at which were being practiced in that area, in that masjid, in that locality, all of them, eventually they were removed. Our ulama, they had very great hikmat. A lot of hikmat, a lot of wisdom. Now we have two things over here. Ashraf Ali Thanwi, this is a very feel-good story. That these people who were completely disconnected from Islam, they didn't even know the Shahadat, eventually they came into the fold of Islam completely. Very feel-good story. Right? Everyone feels very happy listening to this. You know, subhanallah. But let's look at it from another perspective. This ilm, what they were doing, was it haram or not? Yes, it was haram. It was a bid'ah. It was an innovation. Was it against the Qur'an and Sunnah? Absolutely, it was against the Qur'an and Sunnah. Did Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi know this? Of course, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi knew this. So then why did he tell this murid that don't tell them anything? What happened to the ayah? That kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnash ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. That you are the best nation. You are supposed to enjoin good and forbid the evil. What happened to this ayah? Ashraf Ali Thanwi didn't know? He forgot this ayah? So there's two things that we need to understand. The Nubuwwat, the Prophet ﷺ, he came with two directives, two imperatives, so to speak. One directive was the directive of ilm. Was the imperative of ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya ayyuhar Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayk. That whatever is conveyed to you, whatever is revealed to you, convey it. This is ilm. And if you don't do it, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةً. If you don't do it, then you have not conveyed the message. You have not disseminated the message. This is ilm. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a responsibility to convey ilm. To convey knowledge. And what it was. What is white and what is black. Also, the Prophet ﷺ had a responsibility towards islah, towards reformation. Now at times, the Sahaba, they would slip up. And there were many imperfections that the Sahaba had. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that what you did is haram. What you did is against my directive, against the order of Allah, against the imperative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say that. Rather, he reformed them, he corrected them, he did islah. And this was what Mu'adh ibn Thanwi was looking at. That instead of saying that, instead of speaking from a perspective of ilm, that what you are doing is wrong. Because if he had done that, if the murid had done that, what would have happened? These people, they would have left the fold of Islam altogether. They would have left the fold of Islam. They would not have been Muslim. They would have not remained as Muslim. But rather he said, from the perspective of Islam, that no, you stay with them. This is very important for a da'i. Very important for someone who is a muballigh. Someone who calls towards Islam. Whether you are in tazkiyah, whether your efforts are in tazkiyah, in ta'aleem, ta'allum, in tabligh, it doesn't matter. But this usul is very important, that the difference between the directive of ilm and the directive of islah. That at times there may be difference. Just because someone is doing something differently, our ilm and our knowledge necessitates that we correct that what you are doing is haram. But perhaps at that time, that is not the suitable place. That is not the right place to say that what you are doing is wrong. You cannot start conveying fiqh and fatwa and issuing religious edicts that what you are doing is wrong. Because that will distance that person, that will distance that nation from Islam. And then it will become more of a problem. But rather, one should adopt the perspective of islah. In that kind of scenario, one adopts the perspective of islah. That let us look at it from an islahi perspective, because Rasulullah ﷺ was sent with this directive as well, islah. And the dalil and evidence for this is the Quranic verse that فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that it is through the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are soft with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ, if you are harsh and hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِ, they would have ran away from you. This ayah was revealed after the battle of Uhud, when they disobeyed a prime order of the Prophet ﷺ. Disobedience of an order of the Prophet ﷺ is tantamount towards disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedience of Rasul is disobedience of Allah. But Rasulullah ﷺ was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are a muslih. You are a muslih. Aap islah karne wale hai. One of your responsibilities is also reformation. Not only is it to convey the ilm, to convey the knowledge, but it is also to reform them. That with knowledge, right, once knowledge is revealed and people know what it is, then based on that knowledge, you reform them, you mold them so that they can easily grasp what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell them. Because if you go with all guns blazing, so to speak, ye bhi haram hai, ye bhi haram hai, this ye bhi haram hai, aap jo khate hai, ye bhi haram hai. People have a habit of doing that. Like what you're eating is haram. The house that you're living in is haram. Right? Because you purchased it on mortgage. Everything that you're doing is haram. You working is haram. You working in a bank is haram. And some people, they ask that working in a bank, is it jaiz or not? So instead of doing that person's islah and giving him a solution or using some kind of wisdom, the person says it's haram. Now if a person listens to this is what he's currently doing. He is currently, he's working at a bank. This is his source of income. If you say that it is haram, it is going to be difficult for him to leave his job and do something else. It's very difficult. Very few people can do it, illa mashallah. So we need to use wisdom. That we need to understand what is the ilmi ruling and when to say that something is haram and something is not haram, and when something is a bid'ah And when to use islah. When to use islah. This is what Marjali Thanvi did. This was what he did. He used islah. And of course, this islah of Marjali Thanvi, it is nothing compared to the islah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing. Because he came, the prophets did not come to cause fractious relationship between the people, to exclude the people, or so that the people they start turning away. This was not why the Anbiya came. They came to correct and they came to reform. This was why they were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was their purpose. So their purpose was not only ilm and conveying the knowledge, but also reforming the people so that it is easy for them to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell them. So these two things we need to very well understand. This is for scholars as well as for the non-scholars. Very important to understand this, the difference between ilm and islah. That if we start speaking about fatwa, and we start speaking about halal and haram to people who have no idea what halal and haram is. You want to speak to people about what is permitted to eat and what is not permitted to eat. This person has no idea what halal is to begin with. So where are you going to start? You're going to say that, well, you can't eat this because, well, it's not dhabiha. It isn't slaughtered in accordance to Shariat. Now that person has no idea what zabiha is. He has no idea what halal is. So what he's going to tell you? He's going to continue. And rather, he's going to say that, oh, what is this? You know, Islam, this is what Islam is? No. But there is a way, there's always a method of doing it. And this was the method that Mu'ashf Ali Thanvi, this was what he adopted. And this was what he told this murid of his. And his prognosis was correct. After a few years, this whole qawm, it accepted, or they became Muslims in the truest sense of the word. And there are many places like that in India, even today. They're engaged in so many bid'at, so many innovations they are engaged in. But through the barakat and efforts of the madrasa, they don't say that what they're doing is wrong. That, you know, this bid'at that you're doing is wrong. They don't say that. They look at it from a perspective of islah. That, okay, let us establish an Islamic institute over here. Perhaps with establishing this Islamic institute, these people will be reformed. And this happens. These people, they look and they say, well, these mulvis, they're not telling us what we're doing is wrong. They're helping us out. And not only that, but they're teaching our kids. Maybe what they are saying and what they are offering, this is something good. And gradually, slowly, these people, they start accepting Islam and the tenets of Islam. It's more easier for them to digest, more easier for them to swallow. So, but of course, do these mulvis not know? These maulanas, they don't know that what they are doing is haram, what they are doing is bidat, what they are doing is tantamount to kufr at times. It's very near kufr. It takes one to the brink of kufr. So this is very ajeeb, that these people, they were not even Muslim. And even this thing that they were connected with, this matam and this celebration of 10th of Muharram that they were connected with, this has no bearing in Islam. Islam gives it no credibility whatsoever. So even then, Moshe Ali Thanvi said that, no, this is that's a thread. They are dangling to Islam on a thread. So do not cut that thread. Don't cut that thread. Just continue to do what you are doing. Continue to convey and do their islah and reform. And this, we should inshallah take example and heed from this. From Mu'ashf Ali Thanvi and whatever he had to say. That we should make a distinction when to convey fatawa and knowledge and what is haram and what is halal. And when to do islah, when to reform. When to use wisdom. There are great lessons to be learned from the exercises and from the akabirin and their actions. Many great lessons to learn. Because these people, they lived on Islam. They breathed Islam. They died Islam. If we want to live as Muslims, then it is very important that we look at the predecessors and how they lived. If we want to live as Muslims, then look at the predecessors and how they lived. And see their accomplishments. Once we look at that, inshallah, we will have an idea that this is how we are supposed to live. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiratun. Alhamdulillah.